Welcome to show number 70 of the Sports Card Show, brought to you by sportscardradio.com. Hello and welcome to another edition of the Sports Card Show podcast. Got lots of things to talk about today. Lots of different things. Some things about myself, about buying some cards on eBay and checkoutmycards.com for the first time. So we'll talk a little bit about that. We've got some contests. We've been running contests for free adrenaline cards. We just had our Donruss basketball giveaway where we pulled the autograph out of a retail box. That was pretty, I think there's a one autograph for memorabilia per box on those. So that was pretty cool. We did our Tri-City Sports break where we got a Dusty Baker and I think a Jim Tracy dual autograph. So that was pretty cool. So that was pretty neat, opening something kind of totally different from a new company. So that was fun. And on today's show, if you're listening, we're going to be giving away Panini. I went to the dollar store, so nothing super exciting. Nothing like a $100 box or anything like that. But we got 09-10 Studio Basketball, which possible Blake Griffin rookies. And they also had Topps Series 2 Baseball from 2010. So I picked up 10 packs, so we'll have 10 winners. And if you keep listening to the show, I'll tell you how you could enter in the first 10 if we get 10 to enter. So it's kind of my test to see if how many listeners we have. So if you're listening today, you do have a chance to win a pack of cards, and I'll send those to you later in the show. So I won't send the cards to you, but you'll have a chance to win them later in the show. But in terms of what we're going to be talking about on today's program, got lots of things to talk about. Harry Lemon actually got on to the sportscardradio.com forum and requested redemptions. And I actually talked on our other podcast that we have, the Sports Card Focus, and Chris from the Football Card Podcast. And I talked a lengthy discussion about redemption. So we'll talk about that. But some interesting news, kind of in the same vein, kind of in the same topic, was there was a collector that posted on the Hobby Kings message boards, and I believe also the Blowout forums, but I saw it originally on the Hobby Kings forum, where he posted that he got some cards back from Panini for either redemption cards that they couldn't take care of or like damage cards and a bunch of stuff. And so there's some interesting cards that he got back. And so it kind of caused some, you know, questions within the hobby, and people are asking Panini some questions. So if you haven't heard about that, we'll be able to talk about that in our later segment later on today. Also today, talk about buying some cards. So I actually did a little bit of buying, nothing huge. Spent about maybe 15, 20 bucks. So actually a little bit more than that. So we'll talk about that and some of the strategies that I had and some of the places that I bought cards. And everybody knows that I'm a cheapskate, so I obviously go try to save the best money, try to get the best deal. So we'll talk about that. In terms of products, we've got 2011 Topps Baseball was actually moved up. So if you're a baseball fan, you probably have already heard that, but I think it was due out late February, but it actually is coming out, I think, February 2nd or right around there. Obviously, I should know this, but we'll definitely know the release date and lots more when we talk about 2011 Topps Series 1 Baseball kicking off the season. Already, baseball seemed like it just ended. Seems like the Giants just won the World Series. So we've already got baseball to look forward to. So we'll definitely talk about that. In the same kind of conversation, I'm actually going to go to the Giants training camp or spring training this year and watch two games. I think I'm going to watch maybe them play the Dodgers in another game, I think. So that's pretty cool. We'll see if I can get some pictures and things like that and see if I can't see any players playing pretty good in Arizona. And then I'm also going to Las Vegas. And the reason why I'm going to Las Vegas is to have a bunch of fun and gamble a bunch of money. No, actually, maybe I'll do that. Probably not a gamble a bunch of money part, but I probably will have a decent amount of fun on the limited budget that I have. But we'll be attending the, or at least one of us will be attending, there's a sports card summit there where a bunch of dealers and collectors, not really collectors, but mainly dealers and manufacturers and things like that get together. So we'll get to that. So we'll talk a little bit about that. We had a forum thread up about that. And so we'll talk about that. And if you have any questions or if you want any information on the event, you know, we'll hopefully have a little bit of that on today's program as well. And that's about it for my little promo. So we've got lots to talk about. We've got a contest today, and I might as well get to it now. I won't make you wait all the way into the 30-40 minute mark, although I probably should. But if you want one of these packs, I've got 10 of them. And again, I have 09-10 Studio Basketball, and I have Topps 2010 Series 2 baseball. So baseball and basketball. If you're a football fan, you're kind of out of luck today. But the first 10 people to email me, sportscardshow@gmail.com. If these were better packs, I'd make you call in and so I can get free content out of you. But this time we're just asking for an email, sportscardshow@gmail.com. Give me your first pick, either studio basketball or Topps baseball. And give me your second pick. Obviously, you only get one pick of the first one and then your second choice. So baseball or basketball? Basically, give me basketball as your first pick or baseball as your second pick or the other way around. And then the first 10 that respond, the first five will get exactly what they request. And then it'll kind of go from there. It depends on what people are requesting. If they want the basketball, try to hit the Blake Griffin or try to hit like a million card redemption or something in the Topps baseball. So there we go. First 10 to email me. Baseball or basketball is their first choice and second choice as their pick for the packs, and I'll be able to send those to you. I'll send you an email. I'll send you a little confirmation email if you win, and then I can get your address, and I'll ship these to you. And if you're on our forum, Sports Card Radio forum, you can just include your username, and I'll throw it in your little prize box that I have. So we'll see who wins and who takes those down. But you can get to that right at this break. We're going to give you a short break here, get to entering the contest and see who gets to enter and win these packs. So when we come back, we'll be talking about myself a little bit, I guess, although I probably do that a little bit more often than I should on this podcast. But it's card related. So we'll talk about some of the cards that I've been buying over the weekend and the past week and some of the things I've been keeping an eye on, and maybe some actually a buying tip, like an eBay buying tip. And I also use checkoutmycards.com for the first time today. So I'll be able to kind of let you know my experience on that site and what I thought about buying my first card there. So you have that to look forward to right after this.
Card Collectors World is a forum where you can buy, sell, trade, and discuss sports, non-sports cards, comics, games, toys, and more. Like to win free stuff? Of course you do. We have contests with loads of free prizes, card drafts, group breaks, and more. It is 100% free to join. Come check us out at cardcollectorsworld.com.
And we are back. It's good to be back. First show of the 2011, first show of the year. So it's good to be back. Took me a while, but we did have the sports card focus, and should look for those about once a month. Definitely getting the next show together. My brother is working on looking at the most watched cards during the month of January, so he'll be bringing you that, and then I'll probably have another conversation with Chris before that, so we'll figure out something to talk about. And if you have anything you want to submit, either on this show or Sports Card Focus, you can always give us a call, 916-222-1116. Easy enough to remember that I don't even have to write it down. I was really happy when I set up that phone number. It was super easy. And hopefully you can make use of it and give us a call. Let us know anything you want. You can even talk about the kind of cards you've been buying, and that's what I'm going to be talking about, and some different things here. First, my overall strategy, I guess. I'm kind of one to not just kind of buy cards just for the fun of it or just to have them sitting around the house. I don't have really that much room, so I decided to maybe invest in some Giants prospects since they look like they're doing good. They don't have a lot of guys like kind of like the Yankees or the Red Sox that are locked into like long contracts or like veteran players that are kind of there locking in a position in the major league system. You know, the Giants have a lot of good pitchers, but their position players, other than Buster Posey, you know, we're not looking at superstars at all eight other positions. So, you know, the Giants getting some prospects and things like that might be a good idea. I'm also thinking about getting some 80s basketball or like even 70s as you get into Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, but graded, more specifically graded, either PSA 7 or 8 or 9 if I can afford them. So thinking about getting some Lakers, Magic Johnson and Kareem, and even James Worthy. I noticed his 86 rookie sells for maybe even less than Magic Johnson's graded, or right around what Magic, a PSA 8 sells for about what a PSA 8 or 9 of a Magic Johnson goes for. So I found that to be interesting. So I'm monitoring the prices, got my Excel sheet. I'm a big fan of Microsoft Excel or whatever kind of Excel program that you use. You can even get on Google and have one for free. So got on there and started monitoring my prices and things like that. So Gary Brown, he's a prospect for the Giants, is noted for his speed and his defense. And I might be able to even check him out in person this year, as I hopefully will be attending a few more minor league baseball games and things like that. I've gone to a lot of hockey games, but I might as well make use of the prospects coming to town to the Stockton Ports minor league baseball team. I think you can catch a bus down there for $1 and get to the stadium and get into the game for $5 or $6. So I'll probably do that, especially if some notable prospects come through, or if the A's, that's the A's single A level, I believe. And if they have some notable prospects down there, or some ones come through. So we'll talk about that. But Gary Brown is the guy I might end up seeing. But he has a Bowman Chrome Draft Autograph Redemption card, and from 2010. And I started monitoring the prices for the last like month or so, or the last 25 days. And he just had a Sterling come out, but I think the Sterling 2010 Sterling or Platinum, one of those, has a sticker autograph. But I like that the Bowman Draft, even though it's a redemption, I don't mind. I can wait. Some of them look like they have been redeemed even. So it looks like he may have signed the cards, and I probably will get the redemption back in a timely manner. Hopefully, I'll be able to report on that. Since it's my first redemption card in, I don't know, maybe like 10 years that I've tried to redeem myself. So I'm excited about that. But Gary Brown, I monitor his prices. Obviously, there's a refractor version in this out of 500. Those sell in between $10 and $15, but I was going for the refractors, but I never could put in a high enough bid. But I monitored both prices, but more specifically his base autograph, and they all sold for over, the low price was $6.25, and the high price was $10.07. And there was a lot in that, you know, $7 to $8 to $9 range, quite a few in that $9 range. So I put it in my Excel sheet, and there's a really quick button that you can kind of graph it out, and then you can kind of see that sweet spot, kind of draw a line right down the middle of the graph, kind of as it's jumping up. And I saw that the sweet spot was right around $8. So I kind of tested one of my theories. A lot of people think, you know, and I think any theory bidding on eBay's tough to win things, because you might not be around. The iPhone, I was bidding on things. I was watching a UOP basketball game, and obviously I was at the game, so I couldn't have my computer there. So I was like bidding on some cards, because I missed out on some cards a couple weeks ago, some Madison Bumgarner autograph cards that were graded, and they weren't graded 10 or anything. They were just graded 9, but they didn't sell for very much. They didn't even sell for as much as like a raw version. So I kind of was bummed out that I missed those. So I was like, I'm not missing auctions again that I really want, especially for affordable prices under $20. It's not too bad if you don't do it like every single day or every couple hours, then it could rack up to be a big bill. But I was at the phone bidding on things. I didn't win anything. But today I was like, you know what? I'm just going to bid on some cards the day before, right at the sweet spot price, because on eBay, as many of you know, the higher the price goes, the more the next bid has to be. So it goes up 25 cents, and then it goes up 50 cents. They probably explain it all on the eBay site, but basically for anything under $10, it's going up 25-50 cents a bid. And so I decided to put in my bid right there at that sweet spot price. So the next bid kind of put it over my price range, where I could see on my Excel sheet was kind of over $9. Was you're getting to the high range. Anything under $8 is getting cheap. Anything around $6 is really cheap. So I ended up putting a bid on one, and I won it. Nobody tried to put a bid in there in the last couple of seconds. I ended up winning the card for $5, and so I think $5.50, and it was $2 shipping. So I made out for $7.50 total. So that was pretty good. I ended up getting a couple dollars under. So I wanted to share that tip with you. If you're watching a card, obviously one of ones and cards out of 25 and really hot cards like Blake Griffin rookies and things like that, you might not be able to put the bid in 2 days before. But somebody like Gary Brown, you know, that, you know, a lot of people might not even know. They might even think it's like the governor of California or something like that. But, you know, I think that you can comfortably bid on cards, especially if there's a lot of them. I'm still watching five or six other ones I might end up getting, or trying to put a bid on and get it for less than seven. Now I have a card, I'm maybe trying to get it for even less than $7.50 total. So we'll see what happens if I try to do that. But as a buying tip in general, I think if you're collecting these cards, where obviously the refractor version is out of 500, there's tons. He obviously signed probably maybe 1,000 or 1,500 or 2,000 of the regular versions. There's ton of them out there. And so you can kind of monitor the prices maybe for a week. Obviously, you can always go back into completed auctions if you have an account on eBay and get maybe like 20 or 10, 15 auctions there and kind of see their price. You know, say, hey, you know, I'm not going to pay more than $10, so I can put some bids in and see if nobody outbids me or if it's just that right timing where you get it for the right price, because you can always see auctions like that. And another auction I was talking about Wes Matthews. These were kind of one of those auctions I got at the right price, I think. Wes Matthews, I've been talking about him, plays for the Portland Trail Blazers, played for the Jazz last year. A lot of people maybe have trouble listing his auctions because he's going more by Wesley Matthews this year, and a lot of press that I see is Wesley, but all his cards say Wes. So people that are just finding out him about this year might type in just Wesley or just Wes. It just kind of depends. It's kind of one of those things. If you don't have room in the title, there's nothing you can do. But I picked up one of his Timeless Treasures autographs. I think it's numbered out of $299 for $7 total. So I thought that was a pretty good buy. I noticed he had a Crown Royale that was on card. It sold for about $15, $15.50 total. So I got one for about half the price. I thought that was a pretty good buy. So I'm in for $14.50 right there. And my last buy of the day was actually on checkoutmycards.com. I decided to go there because I actually saw Gary Brown. There was a seller selling them for about what you can get them for on eBay minus the shipping. So I thought, hey, I might as well set up an account and try it out. So I set up an account on checkoutmycards.com. I don't plan on maybe selling on there. Obviously, I don't have a lot of cards or any cards really to sell on there or even to send them. So I don't plan on selling a whole lot, but I don't mind buying and just clicking the not for sale button on there, and then you don't get charged a storage fee on there. So I found that kind of interesting. I thought that you might have to pay a storage fee for everything you have on there, but it's only for cards that are over 25 cents and that you're listing for sale. So I bought a Desmond Briscoe. If you listen to this podcast, he's a wide receiver, and I should mention really quickly that I got a lot of gifts this holiday season, a lot of tremendous gifts. I never have gotten gifts before, and I think I got about a half dozen this year, and it's going to be tough to remember them all off the top of my head. So if you've sent me something, forgive me if I forget to mention you right here, but I'm looking at it right now. Utah Jazzman sent me a really cool Tim Lincecum McFarland figure, so I really like that, and that was really cool, and there was other things he sent me, so those were really nice. And LGLOF sent me some really nice cards, like a really nice mixture of cards. So I really appreciate that. That arrived maybe last week or a couple days ago. I got something from HeltonFan17 too. Lots of interesting things from him, some packs and some really nice cards. And San Jose Fuji reminded me of Desmond Briscoe because he sent me a press pass autograph, and that was really cool of him. And so it kind of reminded me, oh yeah, maybe I should pick up a Desmond Briscoe autograph. So that was really cool. He also sent me a card that he made on the Topps website, and he like signed it and everything. So I thought that was really neat. So it made me almost want to go maybe buy some of them. I might have to end up buying some off the Topps store at some point. So I found those really cool. Maybe when they might even have the 2011 designs on there already. So I might have to check that out. I think that's on toppsstore.com or something. That's an unpaid plug right there, I believe. You can like print your own card. You can also get on our forum, and San Jose Fuji obviously did it. So I think he's even had a thread on there where he's talked about it. So he sent me that and like some Olo candy cards and some really nice stuff. So I think I got something else too in the mail, but it's kind of slipping my mind right now. I can't remember who sent it to me. But I wanted to thank all of them for sending me all those gifts. And it's definitely not necessary. Don't think that I mentioned them that you have to send me anything. I don't require anything. Cornwell family, I know, has sent me something on the past, and I don't know if I thank them for the package they sent me a while back. So, and I know there's been others, so I really appreciate that. Help my, like, that's like 99% of my card collection is the stuff that I've gotten from listeners over the past 2 or 3 years. So I definitely appreciate that. And Desmond Briscoe has been added to my collection. I got on Check Out My Cards, and I was searching around. I was like, oh, let's see if, you know, because I think the minimum to put on there was like $10 or $20. $20. So I put $20 on there from PayPal. I had a little extra PayPal money, so I put some PayPal money on there, and I got a Des Briscoe Topps Chrome autograph for $2. So I think there was another on there. The next best offer was $2.50. So I got one for, I didn't even have to make an offer on it. I said, $2, that's cool. I won't even insult you by putting $1.50 or something like that. So I got one for $2, and it's pretty cool. It's one of those cards that I don't really want. If Des Briscoe now plays for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and it appears that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are pretty happy with their receivers, pretty happy with their quarterback. They're a pretty solid team. So I believe that maybe his cards will go up. So if his cards go up, he's not on the Bengals. I don't have any like personal attachment to the cards. If I can sell the card for $5, I probably will. So it was pretty cool. For $2, I on eBay, they end for about $2.50, $3, but then you're paying at least $2.50, $3 for shipping. So they end up costing you $5 or $6. So there's a, example. Obviously, if I want that card shipped to me, it's a totally different, ball game. I paid about the same price on Checkout My Cards as eBay. It's not that Checkout My Cards is cheaper, but if you just want the cards to kind of sit there and then maybe you'll sell it later, you kind of do avoid some fees there, because I don't have to have the card shipped to me. I don't have to then rescan the card and then list it on eBay and then ship it. I can just kind of move it on Checkout My Cards, especially if he's hot. If he catches a bunch of balls or something and everybody's looking for his rookies, yeah, I could see that card selling for $5 or $6 if he makes a little bit noise. It could sell for maybe $10 or $15 if the Bucks are really winning and he's a big part of that. So I'll probably move it anyway. So, and it saves me the hassle of having to ship it on eBay and list the auction. So I found that to be very interesting, found the site to be very useful for someone like me. Obviously, they don't have a huge selection. There's not a huge selection of every player and every card and things like that. So it's not something that you can probably focus your entire collection around. But someone like me, it's a pretty cool service to use. And hey, if these Gary Browns and this Wes Matthews that I got, honestly, if they go up in price, I'll probably end up selling them anyway. So it's one of those things. I think it's like 25, 30 cents and whatever it costs to ship them. It's one of those things. I might end up sending them, a box of cards at some point to sell on there. I don't know. I'll keep you updated on my buying. I'll probably spend maybe $25 a month. I figure, it's kind of like an investment. It's you're not really maybe spending money if you think that Gary Brown and Wes Matthews and Des Briscoe have an opportunity. Obviously, I'm buying like the low-end guys and the low-end prospects. So you're taking some risks there, but you're not spending a lot of money on a lot of them. So if you kind of spread it out, you might be able to hit it big on one or two of them, or maybe a couple of them pan out, or maybe you only make a couple dollars on the sale. But either way, you're not risking a whole lot of money. And if they stay relevant, $2 for a wide receiver that plays, not too bad of a price. And Wesley Matthews, I could see his autographs selling for $7 or $8 if he continues to average, 12 or 13 points in the NBA. So we'll see what happens. That's my little bit on buying, and I'm definitely going to be buying more graded basketball. I didn't see any of that on Checkout My Cards, but I've been on eBay, so I've been monitoring the prices. Something like that's even better, even a better example than Gary Brown. Something like a Magic Johnson or Kareem PSA 8. I've been seeing a lot of like 1981 tops on there and a lot of 1986 Fleer. Those are cards that are just in plentiful supply. They've been graded enough that you see a lot of people just dumping them for less than what it cost to even grade the card originally. So I'm kind of monitoring those prices. The prices stay real stagnant because Magic's not, dropping any dimes to Kareem anymore these days, at least not on the NBA floor. If you have like NBA 2K11 or whatever, you might be able to do it on there. So that's actually a really fun game. I might have to talk about playing the My Player the last couple days. That might have been what delayed this podcast a little bit, because I got addicted and I played about 60 or 70 5-minute quarter games, which is like ridiculous amount of hours that I've played basketball on a video game, but the last like maybe 2 or 3 weeks. But it's been fun. It's kind of fun and interesting to do. I think I talked about it maybe last year. I got hooked on it for a couple weeks, maybe right around this time too. So maybe there's something about about this time of year where I get hooked on, since there's not that many sports going on other than basketball. So obviously with the Super Bowl, obviously I have no interest in the Super Bowl because the Packers, even though the two most popular NFL teams in terms of fan base is probably the Packers and the Steelers, got to be right up there, and the Cowboys might contend with one of them, but the Packers and the Steelers are two of the most popular teams, so congratulations to them. I know we have probably lots of Packers and Steeler fans that listen to the show, so congratulations to you. Steeler fans, enjoy another Super Bowl. In the last couple years, been to the Super Bowl, it seems like, I think, the third time in the last maybe 5 years or so, so that's awesome as a Steeler. It might be maybe over a longer period of time than that, but I think they've been to the Super Bowl three times recently, so that's awesome. And for Green Bay fans, you get back for the first time since, I think, the 90s when Brett Favre was there, and I think maybe he lost his second Super Bowl. I'm not 100% sure on that. So the Packer fans get real excited and get back to the Super Bowl. So obviously we'll take a look at maybe Aaron Rodgers and Ben Roethlisberger cards or whoever ends up emerging in the Super Bowl. There's lots of stories. What's great about the Packers and the Steelers, because they have great fan bases, people will get behind their cards and their memorabilia and things like that. So if, like, you know, some random guy pops off for the Steelers, or somebody pops off for, you know, kind of like Santonio Holmes, he caught that game-winning touchdown, his cards kind of really took off obviously right after the Super Bowl and things like that. Obviously Ben Roethlisberger and Aaron Rodgers cards already, especially autographed rookies and things like that, already go for really big prices, and even just autographs in general and even memorabilia cards go for big prices. So we'll see. Sometimes, you know, Aaron Rodgers is one that could still go even higher, because if he wins a Super Bowl, he's right there with Brett Favre in terms of total numbers of Super Bowls won for the franchise. So and there's people that might be thinking, hey, this guy could win another one, or maybe two or three more. So Aaron Rodgers is a guy that could definitely go up in value, and Ben Roethlisberger right there, he's won two, and I guess he could win his third, which would be incredible for somebody that's really only played, I think, since 2003 maybe was his rookie season. So that's really incredible that he's been to the Super Bowl this many times. I think this is his third trip, and he's going for his third win. That's really cool. That might be as many, I guess I would tie Tom Brady, and he's actually done it in a shorter amount of period of time. So Ben Roethlisberger, despite some off the NFL field problems that he kind of got away with, in my opinion, he is still getting the job done, and his team still gets the job done. So that's pretty cool. That comes from a big saying he got away with it comes from a Bengals fan, because if he was quarterback for the Bengals, our quarterback just requested to be traded, so I'm not very happy with him either. If you've never won a playoff game, and you've only taken us to two playoff games in like 5 or 6 years, maybe even longer than that, if you want to trade, later, you know, that's what I have to say to Carson Palmer. But, you know, Ben Roethlisberger, if he was quarterback of the Bengals, I'd be jumping up and down. You know, he's gotten away with getting himself killed. He's gotten away with getting himself in some trouble off the field. So, but he keeps getting the job done. So with all of that hanging over him, so hopefully he can get things worked out. So I think Ben, it might be even engaged to be married. Maybe I heard that rumor. Maybe I heard it wrong, but I heard that rumor somewhere. So for whatever that worth, maybe that'll make his cards go up. Maybe if it's some Hollywood celebrity, it'll make his cards go up. But hopefully all your cards go up. Hopefully some of mine that I buy. Hopefully Gary Brown doesn't flop and Wesley Matthew turns an ankle and Briscoe gets shoved out of town, because I think he was like a 6th or 7th round pick. So that's a total flyer. But we'll see. It seems like he has I read an article just like published a couple days ago on one of the, not a fantasy site, but an NFL site, that said Tampa seems to be pretty content with their wide receiver core. Obviously, this is really early in the NFL kind of rumor mill, but that's good news if you're collecting cards of guys that are 3rd and 4th on the depth chart. You certainly don't want to see a team sign a number one guy or draft some guy high in the draft, because then they just slide right off the depth chart unless they really, really improve in the offseason, which is tough. At the highest level, it's hard to improve tremendously and move up. It's not like high school where you can like take a summer and work out and be better than everybody that just kind of like took the summer off. So we'll see what happens. But in terms of coming back on this next segment, we're going to be talking about redemption cards, the Sam Bradford 1 of 1, and the Derrick Rose, one of one, that was given away as replacements from Panini that got collectors kind of scratching their head. We'll talk about that on this next segment right after this. Talk about some redemption cards, and I know we talked a lot about it, and I'll probably kind of refer you to the Sports Card Focus. You can go to sportscardfocus.com or sportscardradio.com, and you'll see we archive the shows the same way on actually both sites. So we do Sports Card Radio the same, but I don't really direct a lot of people there. You can go to sportscardradio.com and find both shows there. Show number 2, we talked a lot about redemption cards with Chris from the Football Card Podcast. And, you know, we talked a lot about, for me, it's like expired redemptions. I can understand if a player doesn't sign or they can't get it done. I can understand that. That's business. These guys are busy. Maybe the money sounds good at the time. And then when they realize they can do a 30-second ad for the Chevy dealer and get a brand new Corvette, you know, sitting there and signing 1,000 cards might not seem like the best deal for them. Or that they realize, hey, my signature is worth, I signed this deal when I was a rookie and now my signature is worth so much more. So I can understand. And also players like Tom Brady and Brett Favre, even like Aaron Rodgers and Ben Roethlisberger and the guys that are on the Steelers and the Packers, they are going to play the longest season out of everybody, and they come back the way the NFL's set up. And I know that that's part of the player's bargaining chip going into the negotiations for their – we could have a whole show on the NBA and the NFL going into bargaining agreements. But the NFL's whole player chip is, hey, you want to make it 18 regular season games. You know, it's not a change. They play 20 games now, but – you know, they want to play 18 regular season games and 2 preseason games. But these guys come to practice, especially the rookies and some of the, you know, the lesser known players, and even anybody can show up. But they have those involuntary workouts that are almost pretty much mandatory. And you have mini camps and you have training camp and you have all this thing that players used to not have to do in the past. So we'll see what happens with that. But I can understand these guys are busy, man. You might not be able to sign cards. So redemptions, in terms of people not being able to sign cards, I can understand that. Also, number 2, I can understand why Panini has to put them in products. Panini and Topps and Upper Deck, everybody uses redemptions. You know, it's nice to guarantee a player that, you know, as long as you have pretty good confidence that the guy is going to sign, or you have some kind of agreement with him, or you've sent him the cards or sent him the stickers to sign. If he doesn't ever get back to you, that's fine. I would, you know, not necessarily put the guy on blast, but at least explain to collectors, hey, you know, Cedric Benson, we sent him the 2010 Topps Chrome cards and he never signed them. You know, something like that. It would be nice to have an update. I don't think collectors are going to look down on the player or be like, oh, you know, screw that guy. Maybe some people will, but some guys just don't have the time, or maybe the time versus the money that they get to sign them is just not worth it, or maybe they lose the cards, or they're, you know, they're just so busy it's not something that is high priority for them. And they also get a lot of other autograph requests all the time for free, and they're always signing their name, so sitting down and signing 1,000 of them or whatever it is at a single time might not be worth it. So that's kind of my take on redemptions from maybe the player standpoint and the company standpoint. I don't like to see products that are almost all redemptions. I think it should be only for very certain players and certain circumstances, maybe certain sets that you couldn't get done and things of that nature. But, you know, I don't think, you know, where every other box has a redemption is one of the hits. You might as well just wait on that product or cancel it or whatever. So the quantity of redemptions, I think the companies should try to keep them to a minimum. And when the guy can't sign or they can't fulfill the redemption request, some more color and some more explanation sometimes is all the collector needs, you know. If you tell him, hey, you know, we promise these 4 to 8 weeks, but, you know, this is more looking like 12 weeks, you know, I think just some communication might help sometimes. So that comes from the company. So, but a very interesting thing happened this week, and it kind of falls on the line with redemptions and sending in damaged cards. We could have a whole other show too on sending in damaged cards. I'm not really sure where I fall on that. I'm not sure if it's like something companies have always done going back into the 60s, or, you know, even 60s and 70s and 80s and stuff like that. I'm not sure if they've always replaced damaged cards. I know when I worked at a card shop when I was just out of high school, I know that people did sometimes pull damaged cards, but it was usually people only worried about the hits. But I see a lot of people sending in base cards and off-centered cards, cards that aren't really worth a whole lot and may probably don't have a whole lot of potential to ever go up. I see a lot of people sending those in, so I just question whether or not, you know, I don't mind that if you're a collector and you're sending those in, that's fine. I think if the companies allow you to do that, go ahead. I don't think there's a problem. I really have a problem with the companies. You know, first of all, have a tighter enough quality on your product that you don't have to do that, and maybe explain it a little more. I guess it doesn't cost them that much money because they all seem to be fairly willing to replace damaged cards and things of that nature. But, you know, I guess. But some more color on that. I know that we pulled a Topps Triple Threads autograph card out of baseball, from baseballfactorysets.com that they donated for one of our box breaks. And it had like a chip in one of the sticker autographs. And so I know the collector that pulled that was on the forum and was like, you know, I don't know what I should do with that, if I should send it in. Do I get the same card or whatever? You know, it's kind of one of those things that you kind of want to find out beforehand before you send them a fairly valuable card, or a card that, you know, if you don't get it back, you'd rather just keep. Or if you get something different back, you might as well just keep it because the value isn't. It might be kind of negotiable or whatever, but that's kind of interesting. That's more aligned of sending cards in if they're damaged, and we'll probably maybe have another show. If you can remind me, if you really want to hear about sending in damaged cards and things like that, you can always send me an email, sportscardshow@gmail.com. If you agree or disagree with me, you can always give us a call at 916-222-1116. But the very interesting thing with Panini, they've been getting put on semi-blast on like Twitter and things like that. I haven't checked their Facebook or their blog or anything like that, but I know the Twitter has been kind of harsh. I haven't seen an official comment on them about this issue yet, so I'll probably reserve a little bit in terms of how far I go with this. But it's very interesting. A collector, I originally saw this on the Hobby Kings forum, and I believe he posted maybe a similar post on the Blowout forums. I could be mistaken, but I saw him on the Hobby Kings forum, and he posted some cards, three in particular, that he got as replacements from Panini for, I believe, some redemption cards and some damaged cards and some other items that he sent to them. And one is a Derrick Rose 1/1 card that I believe is autographed, and there's a Tom Brady 5/5, and there's also a... maybe the card most in particular and getting the most attention is the Sam Bradford, I believe, out of Panini Certified Football, card number 302, so it's his rookie, but it's numbered 1/1. It's not it's a case hit for sure. If you pulled this card, it's a case hit. But it's also probably considered the product hit, which is, you know, maybe considered the best card you can pull out of an entire product. It's kind of hard. It's sometimes cloudy and sometimes, you know, tough, especially early on, to say what is the product hit. But in terms of right now, for sure, anything 1/1 Sam Bradford, the base rookie autographed is going to be worth thousands of dollars. Some of them have been selling, the one of ones in other sets have been selling for thousands of dollars. So this card definitely has the potential, if you were to sell it, to be worth thousands of dollars. And the Derrick Rose, there's lots of basketball collectors on the Hobby Kings, and they were all like, hey, nice Derrick Rose, nice Derrick Rose. So obviously the Derrick Rose is a really nice card, and the Tom Brady is a nice piece too. So it's really interesting. And, you know, first of all, it's great for the collector. Some people might have brought up that, hey, these weren't for redemptions, these were something else, this is something, you know, maybe he made a mistake posting this, or, you know, things like that. But, you know, I don't think that's necessarily the case. Obviously, I'm kind of reporting as this story's kind of developing, I guess, a little bit, although it's pretty fully developed on the forums if you check those regularly. But the most interesting thing is if he did get these as replacements for redemptions or whatever, and if it wasn't a direct redemption for these cards in particular, it seems to me that these cards should have made it into the boxes, especially the Sam Bradford. The Derrick Rose, it's not his rookie card, and it's you know, an insert card. I can understand maybe you hold one of those cards back, but the Sam Bradford one of one, basically, like we said, the product hit, the card you put on our checklist page on our websites, and people put on sell sheets, and people tell in a card shop, hey, this would be the best card to get, it would be worth thousands of dollars. And Sam Bradford collectors too, like guys that are trying to get his most valuable cards, or guys that just have huge amounts of money and they want to get his best rookies, they don't even get a chance at this. Obviously, if he sells it, they get it, you know, the same chance as if it pulled out of a box. But the people that hurt the most are the box flippers and the box openers, whether you sell the cards or not. You know, whether you buy the packs at Target, or you buy them at a hobby store, or you buy them online or whatever, you never had a chance to get this card in the product. And it seems to me a card like this, you know, if it was Jermaine Gresham, or if it was Jordan Shipley, I don't think anybody really have that big of a deal. But because that's not even, I don't even know if that would be a case set to pull a one of one autograph rookie of them. You might pull a Sam Bradford or Tim Tebow higher numbered, that's even a better card. That's argue, you could argue that, but you know, the Sam Bradford is like the product hit out of the one of one. Sam Bradford rookies are going for thousands of dollars. People are really behind this guy, probably people from his where he went to college and things like that. And you know, because I don't think the Rams have a pretty big fan base, but it seems to me people are paying huge money for this guy's cards. So it's either prospectors, probably a mix of all of that. You have football prospectors, people with big money Ram collectors, you know, finally believing in a quarterback since Kurt Warner. And you also have people from where he went to college, and it's kind of slit. I guess he went to Oklahoma. Yes, he went to Oklahoma. So you know, I guess those people are spending big money. But the point here being, redemption cards, you know, if you send them in, apparently you have a chance at getting a product hit. So, you know, sometime maybe getting on eBay and buying all those redemption cards that you know aren't going to be fulfilled, you buy a bunch of those, you buy like 100 of those, and it so it makes it seem like you bought like $7,000 worth of product, and you send all those in and they reject you and they send you a Sam Bradford one of one. Now, I'm not saying that's what happened, but I'm saying that's the kind of thing that this kind of thing opens up. Not necessarily that specific example, but it just seems to me that product hits should definitely be in the boxes and opening. I could definitely see them making special cards. I've seen Upper Deck do this, probably the only company that I've seen it done on multiple occasions. I don't know if it's necessarily for not being able to fulfill a product, but I actually just saw them recently, I guess Monte Ellis back from 05-06 or whenever he was a rookie, his SPX, it might not be that long ago, his SPX rookie, autograph rookie, still hasn't been redeemed, and I guess they're about to redeem them now. So that's good news if you have that card, or if you're an Ellis fan and you want to pick up that card. So it's interesting, his rookie card will be coming out several years later. You know, actually the redemptions obviously have all been redeemed and probably been in hands of collectors just waiting to get the card. But that's not really the example. But Upper Deck sometimes make special cards. I've seen a diamond collection club that they have, and they make special Michael Jordan cards and things like that. And I can bet that they've probably made special cards in the past where a player didn't sign something, so they make something else. And I don't really mind that. I think that's fine. Shows a little bit of creativity. I think in Panini's case here, I'd love to see a statement from them. People have been kind of blasting them on that, kind of waiting for some kind of statement for them. I think they've said one will come shortly. I haven't seen one, and hopefully we do hear from them, because I just think on a situation like this, you definitely want to clarify it a little bit and give some color from the company end and explain why, you know, the Sam Bradford and the Derrick Rose for basketball, especially people on Hobby Kings, they were really interested in that card. It seemed like, you know, why didn't that card make it in? And I could definitely see them having maybe extra pieces of Sam Bradford jerseys around, and maybe as a sticker autograph or two. I don't think this was even an on card. Make the guy a special card. That's my suggestion. Is make the guy a special card. Obviously, he really needed to get taken care of here, because, you know, for Panini to make a one-of-one card of Sam Bradford, that card cost him, you know, less than a dollar to make or whatever. You know, it probably is a little more than that to get his autograph and get a little piece of jersey on there, but we're not talking about a huge amount of money to make that card. So I don't understand why you had to put a card that collectors are really looking for, probably some have been waiting for, and they've been searching on eBay, searching the forums for, why it never made it into product. And if it didn't get given to this collector, I don't know who it would have been given to, or what would have ever happened to it. So it kind of opens up a lot of questions that I'm kind of sad that have to be answered. And I kind of think that are kind of like no-brainer questions for a company that's trying to establish themselves in the game. These are kind of like no-brainer things that you do. You put Sam Bradford one-of-one. You put almost all one-of-ones. I could see holding back a couple for all kinds of different reasons, but not a Sam Bradford, and more in particular, maybe even Derrick Rose too. So we'll see what happens, but I hope that, you know, collectors become aware of this and maybe ask some questions of Panini. I think it's definitely worth you know, giving them some questions. I know Topps has had some similar, every company has had similar troubles, but this has been probably the most glaring example that I've seen recently, where a product hit, a card worth thousands of dollars. You know, obviously this collector had plenty of damaged cards, or that, you know, I don't think that we need to get the full story. We don't need to understand what he sent in. We don't need to understand what circumstance caused him to get what potentially could be thousands of dollars worth of cards here. But I think some color on why this card wasn't inserted, and if that's a regular practice, and what were the plans for this. It's possible that not everything is packaged right away. It's possible that, you know, say you have 500,000 boxes planned of a product, that you only package 250,000 worth. I have no idea. Those are numbers I'm just throwing out there. But I don't think so. I don't know how it all works. I almost can guarantee it all gets done in one shot, and it all sits in a, if it doesn't get ordered, it sits in somebody's warehouse, or it sits somewhere until it's bought. So I have no idea, but it's just curious why this card never made it into packs, or if it did make it into a pack, how did it get back into the hands of the company, and things of that nature? And the same with the Derrick Rose. The Tom Brady 5 of 5, I can understand that if four of them make it into the package. As long as that, you know, we could also understand, hey, is it regular practice when a card's numbered out of 5 of 5? Are there only 4 of 5 out there? Of how many percentages of the cards are there? There's a lot of questions that get asked here. So it kind of, you know, redemption cards kind of opened up these questions, and, you know, replacing cards and why these cards aren't in boxes. So very risky. If you're out there buying boxes, it's the whole reason why when I buy, I have no problem buying $20 of a box of cards if I'm giving them away. But if I'm trying to hit something and trying to keep it myself, or sell them on eBay, or hope I get something good so I can sell it on eBay then or in the future, just makes me sick when I don't get anything. So it's the reason why we give stuff away. It's not that I have a bunch of money just laying around. It is fun opening boxes. It's definitely not fun getting slapped. So I kind of take that whole process out of it, and it's kind of fun to give it away. So I haven't given away anything super tight yet. I really want to do that. I think that will be really exciting. I'd love to go. I probably wouldn't even ship it United States. I would probably go to like FedEx or UPS and put it in a box and things like that. So I'm hoping to do that one day. Hopefully you're lucky enough. Maybe these studio packs, since I won't open these unless you want me to, before I send it to you, I'll probably just send these in a bubble mailer, protected or whatever. So again, you can enter our contest, sportscardshow@gmail.com. Say baseball or basketball as your first selection, and maybe you'll get a pack. And if you're the first 10 to email me, you'll either get your first or second choice there. So you can email me at sportscardshow@gmail.com. Well, that about wraps it up for that topic. We'll probably come back to this. I'll probably follow up with it on the next show. And maybe if I find out a little bit more, I only kind of looked at the cards and I heard a lot of stuff on Twitter and surfed through the forum really quickly. Obviously, I couldn't read all the posts on both forums, but some people are pretty heated. People have lots of questions. So hopefully Panini is either preparing a statement instead of trying to like dodge it and things like that. It's not like they haven't been silent. I've noticed plenty of things. They've had a couple blog posts and tweets and stuff. I think there's something going on this week with hockey or something. They're doing something this week. So they're definitely around, and they're definitely – the guys there are really nice. We've been getting very nice products from them and things like that. But, you know, stuff like this is not good. I will be 100% honest. This stuff is not good. You got to be very, very careful. I always say that before we got any boxes from any company, I always said be very, very careful buying boxes from any source. It doesn't matter who you're buying it from. It doesn't matter how reputable they seem to be, because you don't know where they buy it from, especially stuff that's been out for a while. They sometimes get it from another source themselves. So you got to be real careful buying boxes. And this is another example why you got to be extra careful, because if you're out there looking for that one of one hit, obviously lots of them get kept back or get kept by the company or for some reason don't get inserted in the product. So, you know, that's not good. So we'll see what happens. Not exactly sure why the Sam Bradford one of one $1,000, multi-$1,000 card probably didn't make it in the product, but we'll see. Hopefully issues like this will clarify some of that, and hopefully we'll get some answers, and hopefully something like this doesn't happen again. So maybe something like this, sometimes you got to make a mistake, sometimes you got to screw up and have people be like, you know, hey, what the heck's going on, for you to improve your business, improve your life. Happens all the time. So hopefully, you know, it's what you do afterwards. Just like Michael Vick, people like Michael Vick is a perfect example. You know, he made a mistake, made lots of mistakes. He'll tell you. I've actually seen interviews where he very frankly says he made mistakes, and not just dogfighting. He made lots of mistakes, and he admitted it, and he knows he took advantage of his situation and everything, and he paid for it. And he could have definitely came out and done the same things or had a chip on his shoulder, but seems to me that he's trying to make it right, and he's trying to build his life back one day at a time. So he's kind of an example, at least in the athletic world, of somebody that really took a big hit. Tiger Woods is kind of in the same mold. Tiger doesn't have the same maybe humbleness, if that's a word. It seems to me Michael Vick got from going to jail. Tiger didn't go to jail, and I think if Tiger went, he went to like marriage jail, which is pretty bad. I've never been there, luckily, myself, but I'm sure if you've been there yourself, it's pretty bad, but it's probably not quite as bad as getting locked in the penitentiary for 2 years and not being able to do anything. That seems to me like that's like a death sentence to me. That would just be horrible. So I can't imagine, Tiger's at that stage in his life. But Michael Vick and Tiger Woods are examples of people. You know, Tiger Woods is a good example of somebody that hasn't done enough to build enough respect back from everybody, even myself, that I respect his golf game, but I'm still not that point where I'm, you know, like I really respect Tiger as a person. Whereas Michael Vick, I didn't like what he did. And, you know, it's not like I hated the guy or anything, but I definitely lost a lot of respect for him. But from the interviews, not really at all the way he's played on the field, but the interviews I've seen of him, he seemed very straightforward and very forthcoming and very admitting of his mistakes. And someone like that, I'm always willing to, I think even more highly of him than I did before I knew of his dogfighting and when he was like a superstar at Virginia Tech and with Atlanta. So, you know, that's what Panini has to do. They have to be Michael Vick. They can't be Tiger Woods and just expect that good products or good cards and not saying anything about it and not doing anything over and above what you used to do is going to cut it. Whereas Michael Vick's been is a totally different man, totally changed man. So, you know, hopefully Panini, just comparing them to athletes, which is probably not necessarily the best comparison. You probably could do a pick another. There's tons of companies you could compare this situation to. Although this is not that bad. This is not something that's going to bring them down and make them bankrupt or anything. It's not like not paying your athletes and things like that. Those are the kind of stories we were talking about last year. Luckily, we don't have those kind of things going on. But this is something that hits right to the core of collectors. You know, it's one thing not paying the NFL or not paying Tom Brady for his autograph and things like that. Those guys have millions of dollars and those are multi-billion dollar companies. So I'm not really too worried about that. But these are collectors that are paying $80, might be the only $80 they can afford on a box, and that they had no chance at getting the product hit. Nobody did. People maybe busted cases to try to get something like that or to dream of getting something like that, and they had no chance. So I think hopefully Panini comes forward with something and maybe makes some changes and maybe has some color and some vocal, maybe something, blog, anything. You can always call us, 916-222-1116. I'll put together a whole program, a whole special program for you if you wanted to explain the situation. I don't care. So I just hope that it gets worked out for collectors, because if you're a box opener or if you're like a one-of-one collector, if you're a big high-end spender, even if you're a low-end spender, this affects you because you have no chance of hitting it big. You know, it's kind of like the lottery. You know, this is kind of like, this is exactly like scratchers. Scratchers are like those ones that, if you're not familiar with the lottery, I don't know if they have these in every state, but you scratch off, you buy these little tickets. I'd have maybe bought like two or three in my life, but some people are addicted to them. And you scratch off and you pair numbers. Some of them are like bingo. I don't know. It's like completely just a total, I don't know, I don't want to say how I feel about scratchers, but basically it's like guaranteeing a $50,000 prize on those and, you know, having a bunch of $5 and $10 prizes and never giving out the $50,000 prize. That's basically what this is like. And hopefully that doesn't happen with scratchers and things like that. I think they make enough money on those. And same with Panini. I think they make enough money selling products and things of that nature that these kind of cards should make it into the product. So that's how I feel about that. That's how I feel a little bit about redemptions. If you want to find out more about redemption, I encourage you to check out the Sports Card Focus podcast. If you have your own opinion, you can always give us a call. I gave that number out earlier. I probably don't need to repeat it. You probably already have it saved in your phone. Well, when we come back, you might have to save our 2011 Topps baseball checklist page, which I'll definitely be working on here in the next couple days, making sure it's right, adding all the variants and things like that. You'll be able to find it all in one place. I know that all that information is out there at one point, but we'll put it all on that one page. So hopefully it'll all be in one place. That'll all come out. May not be the first one with it, but I will try to get it all on. I'll squeeze it all on that page. So we'll talk a little bit. We'll preview. I can't say that I have like exclusive, you know, announcements on any of the short prints or variation rumors and things like that. I don't have none of that. No exciting, juicy information like that. But we'll talk about some of the cards you can expect. Definitely some of the price you can expect to pay for a box, some of the pre-sale prices. I definitely have some of that information already for 2011 Topps Baseball Series 1 right after this. She said, "I'm fine, I'm okay, cover up the trembling hands. It's indecision when you know you ain't got nothing left. Jump! are back. Time to talk a little bit about 2011. Top Series 1 baseball. I think I'm going to bump. We're going to talk about the Vegas convention or the Vegas summit, industry summit that I should be attending in March. We'll bump that. We got plenty of time to talk about that. So we'll bump that because this looks like it's going to run to the hour 20 mark or so. And anything over that, I get really worried if I'll ever even be able to get the podcast up because it takes a lot of internet time to be able to do that. So I'm sure their servers over at Podbean appreciate it. So we'll push this one as far as we can go. 2011, Top Series 1 Baseball. Got some interesting things to add here, I guess, after all. Updated release date. You might not know this. February 2nd, I think it was later in the month, in the 18th, 19th, 20th, more the middle of the month. So it got bumped up for a hobby box. You're going to get one autograph or relic card. And for a jumbo box, you're going to get one autograph and two relic cards. I really think the jumbo boxes are if you're only thinking about getting one box of this, I probably think you should get a jumbo box. If you're thinking about buying multiple boxes, obviously, if you're thinking about getting more base and things like that, I think you really should think about the hobby box because it's a little bit cheaper. Even though the jumbo boxes do generate more cards, they tend to run out faster in terms of quantity on the market, and they tend to go up in price pretty quick, whereas the hobby boxes and the retail boxes and the little packs and stuff like that, they tend to hang around a little bit longer. Those jumbo boxes tend to dry out pretty quick because you do get the one autograph. It is a pretty nice guarantee. But the guarantee in this one, last year was the million card giveaway. This year we have like the diamond, platinum diamond anniversary. I guess it's like their platinum 60-year anniversary or whatever. Seems like Topps has an anniversary to celebrate every year for something. So you get those kind of cards. Those basically are basically the same thing as a million card giveaway. You get a chance at some like old cards, I think, and you get some there's random like diamond anniversary cards, and you get even chance for like, I think there's like a diamond ring and there's like real diamond studded cards. There's like cards with like diamonds in them. So that those are pretty interesting. So if anybody ever gets one of those and you want to send it to me for my Christmas gift or like Valentine's Day, if you want to express your love to me, I do like diamonds. So that would be kind of interesting. So there's all kinds of parallels in here. The Derek Jeter with a little silver border looks like the old Bowman, like the 1992 Bowman cards, kind of like newspapery, like your fuzzy TV screen, the old school fuzzy TV screen almost. So those are kind of interesting. You got gold, black, platinum. There's the cannery diamond, which are number one of one. You got printing plates in here. Those are the parallels. There should be some variants and things like that, and maybe some Abe Lincolns on the wall and stuff like that. So we'll see what happens. Topps typically puts a few more of those in here than Series 2. So we'll see what they have planned, and we'll hopefully bring those to you on the podcast. There's Silk Collection in here. Those have been in Ginter. I think those are even in Series 2 and update. So the glove leather cards are kind of like the bat cards, which I saw like an Ichiro. It had it ended, but it was like at 30-something bucks from, I think, Topps update or whatever. So these are manufactured just like those manufactured bat cards. It's just like a piece of wood. These are pieces of leather, I believe. And the one I have here is Joey Votto and has his number. So those are numbered out of 99, and there's one of one parallels. You get one per hobby case, and there's one per jumbo box. So you get that thrown in there as a jumbo box. I don't think that's counted as a relic card because that is a manufactured. You got these big relic cards. Those are one of one and things like that. You got some Hall of Famers in here. The autographs appear to be stickers, at least on the sets that I'm looking at here. Looks like top certified or top 60 autographs, and they have autograph relics and stuff like that. I see Babe Ruth in here, so that's pretty cool. 60 years of Topps is in here. Reproduction cards, you got to make sure you know what you're buying on eBay and stuff like that. Don't make sure nobody's tricking you on those reproduction cards. Topps Town, I know that got canceled. Someone sent me an email. I think that got canceled out of football, so we'll see if that actually makes it into here. I got some other to be announced. We got cut signatures, the 60th anniversary autographs. I have Josh Hamilton here. It says happy 60th anniversary and signed Josh Hamilton. So that's pretty cool. And I guess if you really love Topps, that's a pretty cool inscription. But if you just love Josh Hamilton, I don't know, happy 60th anniversary. People might look at that and be like, wow, what is he celebrating you for? But here's maybe some news you haven't heard, or you haven't maybe heard the full story, or you just kind of heard that it was going to happen. But there's going to be a rapper redemption here. And it seems like Topps always announces this right before the product comes out. But the promotion ends August 1st, 2011, so you better do it before then. It's for hobby and jumbo packs only, so nothing from Target and nothing from Walmart. So none of that counts. So it's got to be a hobby or jumbo pack. You send 36 of your top Series 1 wrappers or 10 jumbo wrappers. So 36 regular wrappers or 10 jumbo wrappers, and you'll get a 5-card pack sent to you. Now, let's say you open up a bunch of stuff. Say you open up like 20, 30, 40 packs or 30 boxes or whatever. You open up a bunch of boxes over a certain amount of time. Group multiple wrappers together and send them in one package if you want. I guess you could send them in one by one. I don't know. But the recommendation I have here is send them together, because Topps actually fulfill these all at once. You know, if you send your package in, you know, day one, you're not going to get your cards any sooner, because chances are they don't have these made yet. I see them tweet, you know, oh, all the, you know, red redemptions have gone out, or all the finest redemptions have gone out. So they tend to get them all at once, and they tend to send them out at once. So you can get your wrappers and save on shipping too. But they say group them together and send them in one package. But rubber band your wrappers together. So rubber band your 36 wrappers or your 10 wrappers together, 10 jumbo wrappers together, to make it easier for them so they can count them out. Don't send 600 wrappers in an empty box and make them count it out. Chances are you're going to get shorted, or you're not going to get, that would be the last one I would get to, for sure. I would make sure the intern was in town and they had nothing to do, and I would say, here, count these wrappers out and see which ones are the jumbo. So definitely do them the favor of grouping them together if you have two, three, or more within the same envelope or box that you send the packs in. So what you get is a 5-card pack. And you send the wrapper. I should tell you where to send the wrappers to, but you can find this all out if you go to our website. You can find the 2011 Top Series 1 checklist. You can do a search on Google. You can do whatever you want, but you want to find ours. We got the wrapper here, P.O. Box 2008, Duryea, D-U-R-Y-E-A, Pennsylvania, P.A. 18642. And so you want to send that to Topps Baseball Series 1 Wrapper Redemption. So that's who you send it to. P.O. Box 2008, Duryea, Pennsylvania, D-U-R-Y-E-A, P.A. 18642. That's where you send the wrappers to. You get a 5-card pack. It's a 1952 Black Diamond design. There looks to be about maybe 40 guys here, maybe actually a little more than that, maybe 50 guys here. There's randomly inserted autographs. Monty Irvin's on here. I see Roy Smalley. I don't even know who some of these guys are. Kurt Simmons. I guess maybe these are guys that were maybe in the 60th anniversary set. I see Yogi Berra in here. I see Eddie Robinson. So there's a couple names I see here. I don't see someone like Mickey Mantle, or like a cut autograph of him, or even someone like Nolan Ryan, or anybody huge like that in here, or even really any current players. So I'll have to see what the deal is there. Maybe those were the players in 1952 or whatever, or 1951, whatever celebration. 1941 or whatever. I'm not sure. 60 years. I guess that would be 1940. Actually, it's 1950 because it's 2011. So obviously my math is not good, but what is good is this wrapper redemption. So save your wrappers. If you open up a box of this, save your wrappers. Even if you open up a couple at a time, you might as well see if you open up 36 of it. You might end up with getting a deal at your hobby shop or finding a deal online and things like that. So that about wraps it up for this segment, about wraps it up for the show. My voice is, so I guess this show didn't go quite as long as I thought it would, but we are going to wrap it up. There's still some to be announced on this checklist, so we'll clean that up, and we'll see where everything is, you know, where all the cards fall, and see where some of these short prints and some of these ones that are harder to get. We'll see if there's any surprises in there. We'll see if anybody pops a diamond out of a box or something like that, or if there's like a Rolex or something like that. We'll see. I wouldn't plan on the Rolex, but there are diamond cards. If you get one of the diamond giveaway cards, I believe you have a chance at getting one. There's, I think, of 100 of them or something like that. I actually have it here somewhere on the checklist. The checklist for those cards in particular. So we'll see if you can get one of those cards. I think there's 150 of them. No, there's 330 of them. Excuse me. There's actually one. That's right. There's one for each card, each base card. So there's one of one. They include real diamond. They're embedded in the card. So you redeem those, I believe, at topsdiamond.com. You'll find all the information. If you have one of those redemption cards, you'll find those. There's a 1-in-6 pack, basically similar to the million card giveaway. This time we got diamonds. And, you know, it's fitting. Right in February, right around that Valentine's Day, everybody's thinking about, you know, diamonds and love and all those kind of things. So we got some love. We got no time. This show has ended. My voice has ended. It's time for me to go. Hopefully everything's going good for your collections. We'll be back real shortly with another show. Definitely not as long as break between the last one. So you have that to look forward to. Give us a call, 916-222-1116. We are out of here.